What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
One thing that, first of all, I'm throwing you off right away with this intro. I just said to you minutes ago when you said, what intro do you have for this podcast? I said, no, I don't have any. I'm just going to keep it simple and get right into it. But I'm going to throw you off now because you just calmed me down. You took me down about, what, 10, 15, 20 decibels, maybe even more? So my point is, I thank you for that.
Well, you've had a couple
you're,
of weeks
you're more than
that
just
have been
a host.
Pretty jazzed. You've had a pretty jazzed couple of weeks. So
it's been jazzy. Sometimes the music is good. Sometimes it's a little squeaky. But outside of that, it's good. Anyway, we're back. This is such a great part of my week, our week. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Payton, at Victoria Matiash, on Instagram at PatesRP, at Matiash Victoria, and wherever you get your podcasts, we're also on the Sirius XM app. A ton to get into, and we're going to whip through as much as we can. We'll go west in just a bit. We'll start in the east, Tampa Bay, the Rangers. Hey, we had a goaltender scoring. How about that? That was fun. Always great. Brings back so many memories. We'll get into that in just a second. But I want to start with this, and we want to start with this. So Patrick Kane, he joins Detroit, and let me just tell you quickly the Cold's Notes version of the surgery that he had. So resurfacing of the hip, and again, I'm not a doctor, but this is what happened. The femoral head is not removed, but it's trimmed and capped with a smooth metal covering. Then the damaged bone and the cartilage within the socket, they're removed and replaced with a metal shell. I'm going to say this. It's great Patrick Kane is back. I think it's a great thing for Detroit, but he's far from out of the woods. That's a major surgery to come back from.
I will say this. This is why I'm a little bit optimistic. We're talking about Steve Yzerman here.
Yes.
He's so careful.
Right.
He's so considerate. He's not going to make this move unless he has dotted every I, crossed every T, asked every question once, twice, three, 10 times.
Right.
The fact that he's joining Detroit and not, say, the Florida Panthers, which was rumored, or the Buffalo Sabres, which was rumored,
yeah,
and not to suggest the management with those clubs are disorderly or disorganized. That's not what I'm saying. But
yeah,
just Steve Yzerman is that guy. He makes so few missteps that he's got to feel pretty assured by the medical experts that Patrick Kane is indeed ready to go.
2.75. for the AAV, which I think is fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't need the money. It's not about the money. The thing I'm concerned about is a couple of things. Number one, this is what happened to Nick Backstrom, and we know what is now happening with Nick Backstrom. He's not playing, and he probably won't again. Who knows? I hope he will. The other thing is, Patrick Kane said, look, I'm about at 60 to 65% pain-free during practice. So that's 60 to 65. We're not talking 80. We're not talking 85, 90. 100%. He never will be. So that's a bit of my concern. It's different in practice than it is in game time. And I don't want to think this, but it's not like the league is going to be soft on him. Are they, Vic?
It's not like,
no, right. Right. So I'm just saying, you know, sometimes people
can't hit the guy because, you know,
no,
he's had hip surgery.
No, right. Imagine
they don't
that.
Play that way.
Yeah. Imagine that. I'm Patrick Kane. Do not hit me. I'm coming back. Anyway, but you're right. You make a great point about Stevie Y. I've always had great respect for him, not just as a player, but also in the upper management side, whether it's Tampa, Detroit, whatever it is. It's a gamble. Hopefully it works out.
I think it's going to be very interesting. What I also I think is interesting about it is Patrick Kane said that he wanted to join a contender, and the fact that he does consider the Red Wings a contender. That struck me as well. And they're winning. They're winning these days.
Yep.
It's hard to find too much fault with that organization, that team as a whole. I still think with the goaltending, is suspect. I think the defense is still a little suspect. So we're going to see where he slides into the lineup. I mean, he's going to be put on a line with Alex DeBrincat. I don't think there's any question of that. No, they made such great music together in Chicago.
And he said that. He said, yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. One of the big reasons why I chose Detroit to bring it, and which makes sense. I think Dylan Larkin's going to be on the line as well with them. So that's a pretty potent line.
That's not bad. That's not bad. Anyway, that's good for Patrick Kane.
It's strange to see him in all red. It's strange to see him in all red, though. I got to admit that.
Well, just because, I mean, it was strange to see him with the Rangers last year as well. So we already had a little bit of a cushioning with him not being a Chicago Blackhawk. But next week, he is expected to make his debut. One last point to this about you mentioning how he doesn't feel super great in practice. Right. I now wonder, we're into December. How many players feel good now anyway?
Fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? I think you feel good in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I think this is a different feel though, right? This is the pain that he is recovering from surgery. It's not like the bumps and bruises and nicks and knacks or whatever that the rest of these guys have. It's going to be fun to see him play, and I hope he plays very well. I don't know if you know this, and I don't think a lot of NHL teams do or fans, but the NHL sent a memo this summer to the Maple Leafs. It was just to the memo. It was just the Leafs. And the memo was, just to let you know, you have to play overtime. Overtime is part of a hockey game. So you have to play at least 65 minutes. Everybody else can play 60, but you have to play at least 65. Can this team just win a game in regulation?
Well, not often enough. But
okay,
I mean,
it's
they're
five
going
wins
to...
in regulation time. Anyway, I'm kidding. They went to an overtime last night and a shootout. Mitch Marner, finally. Nice outing.
Now, are we just going to ask Mitch Marner to wear that bubble on his face
please?
Every single game from now
please?
On?
I used to wear one of those, the iTech, the clear thing. Yeah, I loved it. Anyway.
Oh, I've always been a cage person. I've never been the bubble. But they kept on showing. I mean, we both watched this game in its entirety. And watching, they're constantly, the ISO's on his face, and he's fiddling with his mouth guard, and they're asking him about the bubble on his face. And he's wearing this because he got whacked in the face. So this was like a precautionary thing the last game. So they're being safe here, protecting his full head, really, at this point. And there's so much attention on this. And he scores a hat trick. And then he scores the winner in the shootout. So it's just like, wear the thing, man. Just wear it all the time. It's obviously your good luck charm now. So if he takes it off and goes over, everybody's going to be like, put the bubble back on now. So it was pretty entertaining.
Oh, yeah. It was good. It was good for the Leafs. But again, it's the whole extra point thing that they get, and that's fine. That's why I think last week when we did this, I said that the record is deceiving. The points are deceiving. This team playing right now, you're not going to overtime every single playoff game. It's not going to happen. I do think, just the more this goes on to me, the less confidence I have in this team. And you wanted to bring it up to the Leafs defense. They're injured, right? And it's Giordano's out, and it's a bad situation all around for them.
Well, I mean, even before Mark Giordano, and it's not, you're this right. is nothing against Mark Giordano, but he's slower, he's older, but he's still a member of their top six.
Yeah.
And now, where are they going to find another person to sub in there? The defense was already suspect. So it's going to be interesting. If they have the one big missing piece, if not two, really, is on their back end. And I can't see a world where there isn't a move made before the trade deadline. The Leafs are going to be contenders. I think we all know that. But they're not playoff ready as that defensive core is currently constructed with or without Giordano. So they're going to have to make – they could score. I mean, obviously they could score. This is a high-scoring offense.
Right.
So, but you still need – and the goaltending has been decent.
Yeah, it's been decent.
Both, especially Wohl. He's been a pleasant surprise. Yeah. But their defensive core has to be better. But it is interesting with the overtimes, just pushing it. And then more often than not, pulling it out. But they're going to get tired, Ryan. They're going to get tired.
I'm telling you. So send the memo back saying, no, you know what? This 65-minute stuff, we're not having it. Let's try to get it in 60, and off we go. Anyway, last night, where there was a wall, there was a way. That's
the way
I look at it with that. Yeah.
Very, very nice.
So do we look at this as a bounce-back game for the Bruins? That they beat San Jose, or do we just think that Boston, you know, this is one of the funniest parts of hockey is that you have Boston, who has been playing dynamite all season. Vegas, we'll talk about Vegas later on, but two really good teams. And then all of a sudden, if they slip up just a tiny bit, the discussion is, oh boy, you know, they're not on pace for the 135. They're only on pace for 128. What's happening to this team?
I think actually rather hilarious. Last Friday, I did two radio hits.
Yeah.
One on the Fan 590 in Toronto, another one on the NHL Network Sirius XM. And on both, I actually had presented a little bit of a mea culpa. I apologized to the Bruins once more for thinking in the summertime before the season started that having lost Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci, yeah. that they weren't going to be the same team again, and they were enjoying all the success. So I said, you know what? I don't know what I'm talking about in this regard. I get a lot of things right, but I got this one wrong. And you know what? The Bruins are just as good, just as formidable as they were last year. And again, I apologize. And then they lose three straight. So I can't get anything right.
You can't
win. When I'm expecting them to stumble a little bit, they're soaring. And then when I say, okay, I guess they are that great. And I still do think they're an excellent hockey team, but they are that great. Then they stumble and they lose three straight. Yes, I mean, you have to beat the Sharks, especially when, I mean, they lost to the Rangers large. Mm-hmm. They lost to a not great Blue Jackets team. And then Detroit, I believe, was the other loss. So if you're going to have the opportunity to play the Sharks at home, a traveling Sharks team, you have to win that one. And they did. And they got the shutout. And I think this is going to get them back on track. And they play the Maple Leafs on Saturday.
Yeah, so speaking of the two teams,
that's going to be something. It's going to be a very entertaining affair. Must watch.
Yeah, always is. And Mitch, keep the visor on. Keep the full mask. We'll keep it. We'll see. The thing with Boston, they're fine. Every single championship team, every single first place team in each division, each conference at the end of the season, they go through their little valleys. A ton of peaks, but they go through the valleys. They're fine. Speaking of valleys, Tampa Bay, what is going on with the Lightning?
Well,
I'm very, very surprised with this.
Vasilevsky is obviously a poisonous presence in that locker room. You get back one of the best goaltenders in the league, and they just, they're stumbling as well. I can't get, every week we talk about one team that I just can't figure out, and that's going to be the Lightning to me this particular week. I don't know what to make of them. They'll play three or four games in a row when they look like they're going to hoist the cup, you know, next June. Mm-hmm. They look their very best. I mean, Nikita Kucherov is top five player in the league. I don't think there's much discussion about that. If you give up power plays to them, to him in particular, you are in trouble. It's just, you watch them and you're like, they can contend with anybody. And then I'll watch another stretch and I'm shaking my head wondering what is going on. So it's interesting. They were looking forward so much to getting their number one netminder back, who was, and I'm not saying any of this is falling on him. And he wins his first game and then they lose three straight after that. It's just, it's bizarre to me.
It does make sense. And the thing that's concerning is that they're a -3 in the goal differential. They've scored 82 and they've given up 85. I didn't look it up, but maybe I will over the weekend. And we can talk a bit about it next week when we reconvene and do this. When's the last time Tampa had a minus when it comes to goals for and goals against by the season's end? I know it's not going to be like that. They will have more for than against by the time the season's done. But the point is that they're giving up way, way too much. And it's not like their defense, I don't think, is very bad. I think it's decent.
No.
And it's not like Tampa's, right? Tampa's not. So whatever it is, they just don't have, they haven't gelled. They haven't come together yet, which is very shocking because this team has been one of the best in the NHL in the last number of seasons.
They have a losing record, though. I mean, I know they're 10-9-5, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
Five loser points. They've lost more games than they have won. And so when you think about the -3, it makes a little bit more sense when you look at that record. So it is a little, it is considering the coach of that team and John Cooper, considering the members of that team and the fact that a lot of them have been through winning two cups together, you think that.
Right.
I wonder if sometimes it's just not happening. And then in a month, I wonder if there's nothing deeper than the fact that they're just not winning hockey games and they're going to start winning hockey games.
So you're saying maybe in a month from now, we'll be saying, okay, here we go. Now the Lightning are doing what we know they can do. Is that
they're just not, they're not too different of a team from what they were when they were so successful. So that's why.
Okay. The Rangers, best team in that Eastern Conference, one of the best in the National Hockey League. I know the Kako injury is a bad thing, but this team for me, they're getting contributions from the entire lineup. And I tip my cap, and I'm wearing one today. Look, you watching? I'm tipping.
I am.
There it is.
There you are. You are indeed.
Thank you. Tipping my cap.
I can second that you are in fact tipping your cap.
Take two on that. You're watching? Good. Tipping. Alexi Lafreniere. I was very, very, very critical of him a season ago, and I was saying he doesn't belong in the Rangers. I don't think it's a good fit. All this type of thing, but hats off to the guy, him among with everybody else on that team. Fun to watch.
Artemi Panarin is a heart candidate. I don't care what anybody says. He had a little bit. He had that long.
Who's saying he isn't? Whoever is saying he isn't, or you're thinking,
I heard somebody the other day say it, but now I can't remember. I'm also not going to call them out because they're not going to defend themselves.
That's fine.
But some people just don't think he's quite that level yet. And they were also, the argument was being made that the team is playing so well that he's not necessarily the MVP, because they would still be winning a lot of games without him, which I will dispute. But he went through, he had that massive point streak that was incredible. Yep. Then he went a little quiet, and now he's back on it again. And I think that is the sign of a truly, truly great player, is when you can bounce back after not playing your very best, or at least not producing to the way, he still was playing fine, but he wasn't putting up the same numbers as he was earlier in the season. It was very short. It was about a week. He's back on track now. Adam Fox is healthy again. Ryan, they won all these games without a top three defender in the league.
Absolutely.
I think that's absolutely legitimate.
To me,
right?
I've got Hughes, McCarr, and Fox in the three.
We're the same.
I'm with you with that. And back to what you were saying about, or what we were talking about, the Bruins, you know, winning a bunch and then losing a few. Everyone goes through the ups and downs. Panarin will do it as well. It's not like the guy's going to get 150 points, even though that would be nice. 31 in 21 games is still very impressive. The one guy, too, quickly before we leave this, Keandre Miller, I think is having a good season. I really do. I like him. I enjoy his game. He's got that toughness, but he's finding the net. I think he's got, I'm looking at it now, 10 points in 21, plus 8. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. And I think he's been one of those contributors on that team that maybe not getting as much recognition, but it's okay. If you don't recognize him, I'm sure he's fine with that.
He's a bit of a 5-2 player in hockey. He does it all well, but he doesn't do anything outstandingly. But he's very good in all aspects of the game. And again, we have to remind ourselves constantly, you have to give defenders a little bit more time, because there was a lot of hype around him. And now he is a little bit older. And I think we just expect them all to be the Quinn Hugheses and the Cale Makars. And that's completely unfair, because it does usually take more seasoning. And really, defenders hit 26, 27, 28. That's when you start to see them at their very best. So I like a lot of what Keandre Miller is bringing to the team. I've been excited about him for a while to see him finally do it. I will also say I'm not too concerned about the Kapokako injury. He last couple of weeks has only been playing 8-9 minutes a night. So he is, I'm not saying that they're as good without him, because they're not, but this is not an 18-minute, 19-minute a night guy.
Okay.
So, I mean, and they're going to get Filip Hedl back at some point. That's going to help them as well. But I'm tipping my imaginary cap. Jonathan Quick, man. Like, seriously? Honest to goodness.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, I thought he's going to maybe play, I don't know, 20 to 25 games.
A handful, if more,
It's just to give Shesterkin a rest on back-to-back nights, because he's going to need it, right? And then he's come out, and he has been simply outstanding. He is like, I'm not saying that he's not the backup. He's still the backup. Igor Shesterkin is the number one. But we're almost talking 1A, 1B at this point. And also, Jonathan, we're not quite there, Ryan. I know you're looking at me strangely.
Yeah, I don't think.
We're not quite there.
I think we're a ways away from that.
I don't think we're a ways away. I'm going to say that. Okay. I don't think we're a ways away. Not if he continues to play the way that he has. So.
Right. His numbers are incredible. He's not lost in regulation. 1.99 goals against, 930 save percentage. Sample size, 8 games. That's fine. But the fact is, those are 6 wins that he has given, or he's helped the Rangers have. So I'm with you with that. But I think we're a little ways away from that 1A and 1B. Are the Devils okay? Or are they
Devils
still
are fine?
I don't think they are. I don't think they're fine at all.
Really?
I don't think so. No, I don't. I think this is a complete reverse from what we were talking about with Boston. Boston playing well, then they go in the dumper for a bit, now they're okay. Well, based on the last whatever. I think, and the Devils are playing better hockey. Yes, I'll grant that. What, Schmid made 44 saves, I think, last night, or against the Flyers, something like that. But the goaltending still, I am not sold. I never will be sold on those two with Vanacek. I don't think this team, at least for the it's going to take long. They, to me, remind me of Tampa right now. I think they'll get to it at some point. They should have been there already, because the expectation was there for them to be at that point. But I don't see it. I don't see it at this moment. And you disagree.
I think they're totally fine. And I think it's just proven. My only concern is, this goes hand in hand with what I'm about to say, they need Nico Hischier to play for them. Nico Hischier missed a huge stretch of time. He came back and they've won 3 straight with him. He's contributed to the score sheet in all 3 of them.
So has that been the reason?
And they were without Jack Hughes for a while as well, right? So they need those top two centers.
Okay.
And that's the concern part, because you're now relying on two figures in particular. They haven't had Timo Meier either, so that's been an issue as well. But they need those two. But Nico Hischier in particular, they look like a different team. And I wonder if it's getting in everybody's head. I wonder if it matters to the rest of the players on the ice. They just feel better. I mean, we talk about this guy in the Selke conversation all the time.
Of course we do.
He's a perennial Selke candidate. He's one of the best two-way centers in the league. There's no conversation about that. All right. So them having him back, I think they play differently. So never mind his contribution as an individual, but I think the team as a whole is also more confident, and they play with a different brand of swagger. They've won three straight.
Sure,
I think we are seeing a turnaround.
Okay. Goaltending quickly, still concerned. I am. Yes, no.
I like Schmid better than Vanacek. I'll say that much. Okay. I think he has been the better one, and
that's
I think he can be the better one. And hey, Ryan, they played the Sharks on Friday. They host the Sharks. They're going to be four straight now. So I think they are turning things around. So we'll see. In a couple weeks, you and I will reconvene on this and see where they're at.
Which we do. Quickly on the one play, which I did not like. I've been not a huge fan of John Tortorella, which, how he speaks to the media and all that stuff. He was bang on last night, though. That play, Garnet Hathaway, it was chasing down an icing. The linesman ruled it off. And right at the end, he bowled over Luke Hughes. And Luke Hughes left the game. I think he did come back. He was fine.
He did, yeah. He came
back. But Hathaway was given a five-minute major for that. I completely disagree. There was no intent to go after him. He was trying to get the icing, and maybe he didn't hear. That's totally fine. It was one on two. Hathaway was and Tortorella came off behind the bench. He didn't go on the ice, but he was right up against the boards yelling at the ref. I think he had every right in the world to say that is absolute BS. 2 minutes, maybe not even. It was just one of those plays. Okay. But we talked about this before we came on. You think it had to do with the reputation.
It's a reputation call.
And that is too bad. It still happens. I hate that in sports. Now I'm fired up. In the beginning, you were fine. You helped me. And now I'm getting going again. Okay, you got to calm me down. Tristan Jarry, that was fun.
What is more fun than a goalie goal?
Nothing.
There's few things. Well, hat-tricks are fun.
Doing this with you, and then that. There you go.
Right. It was and it was absolutely pristine as well. It was perfect. So, yes,
beauty.
Tristan Jarry scored a goal from his own net. It just soared over everybody into an empty net, obviously. I suppose that merits mentioning. But we don't see them too often. And it was really fun to see the Penguins players rally around him and celebrate with him. And everybody just had such a blast with it. And I think that's really good for a team as well.
I do, too.
I think it just brings everybody together. You're having more fun out there when you're having fun. I know that sounds like a ridiculous statement.
No, it's not. And Alex Nedeljkovic, he's had two in the AHL, right?
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
So they went right to him on the bench, and he looked thinking, okay, do you guys practice? I think you guys practiced this a lot. Or did you? But the Jarry thing, 180, whatever it was, it landed on near the hash marks. It's not like this thing dribbled for about 5 seconds. This was dead on. So always think of Ron Hextall. I don't know why, but I always think of Ron Hextall whenever I think about goalie scoring, but whatever that is. Anyway, quickly, as we wrap up the East, the look ahead. Ottawa, you're thinking they get back on track. Shabbat coming back too, which is
a good thing. So many games in hand.
Yeah,
so the fact that we look at them in the basement.
Do those mean
division,
something now? Do those mean something still at the end of November?
The fact is they've only played 17 games. Other teams have played 23, 24.
I'm just saying usually at the end of the season, you're thinking, oh, you know what? You're 3 points out, but you have four games in hand. So that's kind of when the discussion
is. There's such a gap. Usually no.
Yeah.
But there's such a gap because I know they traveled overseas and they've had the extra time off, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, but when you look at them in eighth place in the Atlantic, you think, oh dear, they're in such trouble.
Right.
And then you look at, whoa, they've played six fewer games than the Montreal Canadiens, who are right above them. This is an opportunity. The schedule in particular, they're playing the Blue Jackets and they're playing the Kraken. So we're not talking Rangers-Vegas here.
No.
And they have Thomas Chabot back in the lineup. And their power play is absolutely stunk. So that's going to help in that respect. If they get those two wins, I think Ottawa can get back on track in a hard hurry.
Least amount of games played, 17. Yeah, least amount of games. Leafs played 21. Others have played 20. But 17. So there you go. That's a bunch of points that they can... they can wrap up. Leafs Bruins too. That's going to be a great game. Every time the two teams go together, it's going to be fun. Tons more to come over the weekend. Enjoy the Eastern Conference. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll shuffle off to the West. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matty Ash, Pucks and Seven. We will be back.
Now Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
I am Victoria Matiash, and you are Ryan Payton, and this is Pucks and Seven. We just flew through the east. Now we're going to...
We did fly through the east. Yeah.
It was quicker than usual. Well, and now we're going to stumble through the west.
Well, didn't we do that last week? I think we stumbled. I think we came back. You brought us back in the second segment. I think I said the same thing you did. We stumbled through the first, or we took our time like a turtle, and then we ended up realizing, okay, we got to ramp it up a bit.
We're gonna keep this zippy anyways, because there's lots to get to. And let's first start with, how about them Oilers, Ryan?
Yeah.
How about them Oilers?
You know what still bugs me? What still bugs me is the Jay Woodcroft that he's gone. That bothers me. Do I have any personal reason as to why it bothers me? No. I just don't think he needed to go. I don't think there was an issue with the coach. I just think this team could not, you know, anyway, but now the new coach is in there playing better. The last few games, they won 3-1, 5-4, 8-2. It was against the Ducks. And they shut out the Capitals 5-0. Before that, this is the interesting thing for me. Those three losses they had against Tampa, the Panthers, and Canes, three very good teams. They gave up 6-5-6. They scored 3-3-4. So it's not like the team lost 6-0 or 5-1 or 7-2. They still score. Are they out of it yet? No. But the one thing I can tell you is McDavid is really doing McDavid things. And whenever he does that, the team is in good shape. So I'm not quite there yet. They know there's a big mountain to climb. But Vic, I'll say this. They're in a lot better shape than they were a few weeks ago.
I think it's still a little bit too top-heavy, though, because we are seeing Leon look like Leon again, and Connor McDavid is putting up crazy numbers once more.
What do you mean Edmonton's top? Edmonton's not top-heavy. Are you kidding?
Right.
They have arguably the two best players. Come on. I'm kidding.
But even in the last little while, Connor Brown, one assist in seven games. Sam Gagne, nothing.
Yeah.
Zach Hyman's been all right, actually. But they're still going to need contributions from other people. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins pitches in a little bit here and there, and Evander Kane and Hyman does. But in terms of the bottom six, there isn't enough coming from them. So I still think this is going to be a problem down the line. But I'll tell you what, four games in a row that they've won, and I don't think it has anything to do with the coaching either. I think it's just, they just figured it out. That's what everybody had said. They have to look at, to a player. They had to look inward, figure out what was wrong individually, fix it, come back on the ice. And now we're starting to see that a little bit. I will say this, they're off now. We're recording this on a Friday. They're off now until Wednesday. And I will tell you right now, they do not want this break. Not when you win four straight like that. You do not want to go home and think about it. You don't. You want to keep going. This is the worst time break that they could possibly have. So it's unfortunate for them, but hopefully when they come back on Wednesday, they can pick up where they left off. So are they in the playoffs, Ryan? Are they a playoff team?
Right now?
Well, they're not right now. But
No. I'm just saying, if my thoughts come April, are they? No, they're not at this moment.
Really?
No. They need to get Jack Campbell back up. By the way, Jack Campbell's turned it around a bit in the last few starts. I don't know if you've been keeping track with that, but I wanted to get this in. He's allowed 6 goals on 108 shots. That's it in the last 3 games. So that's pretty good. That's about 2 a game. And he's playing better. And there's a rumor that he may be called up next week. He may be. Look at you. I don't. You know, if I was.
I just think it's so bizarre. I think it's so bizarre. I can't get too excited about numbers in the AHL in the first place.
The fact that he got sent down?
I think just the way that they've managed this from the start.
Oh, it's been terrible. It's not bizarre. It's been terrible.
So what are they going to call him up and he's going to blow a game? And then what do you do? Do you completely break the guy at that point? He's going to be emotionally busticated.
And he already
if they
is.
Bring him up. I think I he already is too fragile. I think he is naturally fragile. And I just think that he needs a little bit of special handling. But you just bring him up, great. But then you have to tell him you're here for 2 months.
You have
come rain or shine. Yep. You're going to be with us, or else he's going to be an absolute head case. He's going to be a mess.
Since we've started this podcast, and this is the second year of it, I've come to know some of your Matiash-isms. And one of them
I don't even know which one this is.
Well, you just said it, busticated.
Oh, right.
Yep. And so the reason why busticated is now in my mind, because we look at the lineup and we see Ducks are busticated. So
Ducks
there's
are
so,
busticated.
Right? Yeah. But I got to write all these down, because literally you can write a dictionary of the play on words that you have. No, they are. What did we expect? I will say this. I am such a massive fan of Leo Carlson. I'm a huge fan of his.
I am.
He looks great. I didn't know how tall he was. He's very tall. He just seemed very graceful. And the fact that he's not on a very good team, sometimes that could be a detriment to a young talent who is as good as he is. But I'm trying to look on the positive side with the Ducks, and I think that's one. But yeah, you're right. They are.
It absolutely is one. He's centering the top line when he is allowed to play. He's their top rookie. He's going to be their future top center for years and years and years to come. Yeah. That is promising. Mason McTavish is having a decent season. That's promising. Frank Vatrano is having an excellent season. That doesn't really make sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense considering his history, but that's great. Great. He's scoring like crazy. That's it. End of list. Troy Terry is a mess. I have no idea what's going on with Troy Terry right now. He can't score. He's trying, but he can't score. And the Ducks have lost 8 straight, which is ridiculous after such a promising start. But we've seen this story before, Ryan. We have seen it year over year over year. They come out the first 3-4 weeks of the season. They look dynamic. They look sharp. They look like they could actually contend with just about anybody in the league. And then they fall off. And we've seen it once again. And this is under different coaches. This is with different players, different personnel. I don't quite get it. I don't get what goes on in Anaheim that they just come out so great. And I know this is a rebuilding team. They're still young. They're not there. We didn't have them in a playoff spot to start the season.
Yeah, we've been saying
this.
This early season routine
is so weird.
We've also been saying this, or I've been saying this. John Gibson.
You want him traded.
I mean, the fact he's still in Anaheim, good on you, John. You face more shots than anybody, really, at the end of the season. You do what you can on a bad team. You put him on a good team, the numbers through the roof. Guaranteed. Vezina Trophy candidate. Guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm not quite there with you on the Vezina Trophy.
Oh, no, because he hasn't been on a good team. Trade him.
It's interesting.
I wouldn't want to go from Anaheim either.
For the lifestyle, you don't.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think he'd like to join a contender for the first time in his career, really.
Yeah.
Or at least for many years, as it happens. It's been interesting because they're starting to come out now with the trade list, potential trade list ahead of the trade deadline. And I know it's super early. This is December the 1st, so we still have a ways to go. And there's some goaltenders on there. All the goaltenders who play with Montreal are on there already because we all know Montreal isn't going to do much, and these are movable pieces. And his name wasn't on there. I just thought it was interesting. They're not even talking about it yet. I think they will start to talk about it. But again, Ryan, maybe he doesn't want to go. Maybe he just likes living in California.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah, from what I gather, and I did, like, he does enjoy living there. He's not successful with hockey, but he gets paid fine, and he does enjoy living there. So why trade him? Anyway, John Gibson. Vegas, great win against Vancouver, but the struggles still are there. They haven't put together 2 straight wins since, what are we at? The Avalanche and the Jets. And that was when they won 7-0 and 5-2. And if I do the math correctly, that was November 5th. So it's almost been a month that they put 2 straight wins together. They beat Vancouver. Before that, they lost to Edmonton, Calgary, and Arizona. They were shut out by Arizona. And then they beat Dallas 2-1. Then they lost to Pittsburgh. Before that, the Flyers beat Canadians, lost to the Capitals, beat the Sharks. Everybody does. You and I can beat the Sharks as well, even if it's 5-on-2 hockey. So they're bounce back game, but still they're not where they were to begin the season.
Is Shea Theodore really that important to that team? Because since they've lost him,
he's important to my hockey pool.
Right.
I can tell you that. He's big time important. Yeah.
They haven't looked the same really without him. He's only been out 4 games too, but he's a 24, 25 minute a night guy. So he is going to be a big piece to lose when you don't have him. I think that makes a little bit of a difference. I think this is the same conversation we're having about Boston though.
It's exactly the same. Yeah.
This is an excellent hockey team that's just stumbled a little bit of late, particularly of late. But they're still way up there in the division. They're still one of the best teams in the league. It's just one of those things. You're not going to win every night. One of my favorite matchups this weekend, though, and we don't give gambling advice on this show, but I do write about fantasy, so I can say this from a fantasy angle. They're playing the Capitals this weekend.
Yeah.
Charlie Lindgren is starting in net for the Capitals, who shut out the Vegas Golden Knights the last time that they met up. And so you would look usually at this card and go, Vegas, Capitals, well, that's going to be a Vegas win. They are a superior team. Not on this occasion, my friends. I'm not suggesting they're the superior team at all. I would absolutely play that. I would put a couple of points down on the Capitals in that matchup for certain.
I say this all the time about teams, whether it's football, basketball, hockey, it doesn't matter. It's great to play well. It's fantastic. You know, when you stretch all the team out and you end up getting a lot of contributions. But the worst thing is the expectation is you got to play at that level the whole time. So Boston, oh, you lose this. Okay, now what's, nothing's wrong. You're just too good to be slumping like this. But yeah, I'm with you. Vegas is going to be absolutely fine. Vancouver hot on their heels, 3 points back. Speaking of Vancouver, they made a trade. And this was a good one. We knew that Nikita Zadorov wanted to get out of Calgary, and he did. Vancouver getting Zadorov from the Flames for a fifth-round pick in 24 and a third-round pick in 26. That trade was announced on Thursday. Your thoughts?
A little bit out of the blue, I thought.
Me too.
And I was starting to wonder if maybe the trade talk about not only Zadorov, but other members of the Flames that we've been listening to for the past little while might quiet a little bit because the Flames are playing better. Mm-hmm. And they're a threat to make the playoffs. They're not there right now, but they are a threat.
They're so trending. I was wondering, they're trending.
And then, and I was surprised that they traded them to a rival in Vancouver. I was a little bit surprised by that. I was also surprised by the return. I thought they would get more back. And I know you're not going to ever maximize an asset when they want out. Right. I mean, it's much harder. That's why I always say, players, keep your mouths shut. You're not doing your organizations any favors by saying you don't want to play there anymore because the return is going to be what it was otherwise. I found out about this trade because I'm married to a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And he texted me and he's like, we couldn't get Zadora for that. But he makes a point.
Yep. He makes a point. So. And the return, I was surprised. The return, and you never want to trade a guy within the division. You make a great point with that.
And I think it's weird,
Patrick Alvin did say, he said Wednesday before the deal on Thursday, he said, you know, we were trying to find someone to replace Carson Soucy. He's on LTIR. Totally get that. But anyway, good for Vancouver. I think they got better. They did. You couldn't get any worse. But you're right with the Flames. This team is not going away, and they're trending in the right direction. We could have started with this next topic, but we didn't. It's been quite a week for Corey Perry. I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's been quite a week for the Chicago Blackhawks altogether. So this has affected more than one person for certain. From the very beginning when he was let go or he was not playing because of an organization decision, then we're not going to do a deep dive on the ridiculous rumors because they're gross.
No.
And you and I never talked about it anyway.
No.
It was just something that you're waiting for clarification and all the speculation was really irresponsible. And and mean and a bit cruel too when you're considering everybody's involved. But we're going to move on from that. So what turns out, he's gone. He's placed on waivers, cleared waivers. Contract has been terminated. And the relationship is obviously over. And now he has since, in the last 24 hours or so, issued an apology to everybody stating he's embarrassed. He's sorry about what happened at there was some event where I guess he treated somebody inappropriately. And that's all we know. We can say he didn't commit a crime, or we're guessing because he hasn't been criminally charged. So, but he did act inappropriately. So he was let go. He seems to own it, or he's trying to own it, and he's going to pursue help for substance abuse, alcoholism, in his words. And I'm just hoping we can all move past this as quickly as possible. He gets himself sorted out. Maybe we get clarification on what actually went down or not. I don't know if it matters. But,
it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
I suppose not. He did something very wrong. So
And you know what? What amplified this even more was it was Chicago. And the Kyle Beach situation and everyone thinking, well, you didn't tell us about that. And I heard this conversation yesterday and I thought it was a great conversation. You didn't tell us about that. So you're basically entitled now to tell us about this one. What happened? What happened? What happened? Putting Kyle Davidson in that situation. And when he came out the other day and he did the press conference, he said he's wearing it. He was emotional. And you're right. This affected everybody. Some of the things that were out there affected everybody on the team, every family on the team, and the entire organization. From what I gather, you're right. When it came to what he did something to an employee of the team, and it was in Columbus at a event, I guess, the night before, and then he was at practice, then he was pulled from the game, whatever it is. At the end of it, I don't need to know. It was a mistake. He apologized. Everybody makes mistakes. I hope it wasn't something absolutely awful and terrible that the other person involved in this is going to suffer. But at the end of it, I hope Corey's going to be all right, the family and the other person too, whatever it is. And we can move on because
I'm usually all over transparency. I want to know what's happening. I'm usually like that. But when it comes to situations like this, you're in a position of re-victimizing the person who has been hurt.
Right.
And he or she, they don't need to be dragged through anything anymore. They're already going through what they're going through. And to bring it to the surface, and this is somebody who obviously is not a $10 million athlete. Well, I'm guessing anyways. So to put them through that situation where they're not asking for this, even if they were making money, it's not really relevant, but you know what I mean? They're not the center stage. We don't know who they are probably. So we don't need to know who they are.
Let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
And I agree. Let me ask you this just quickly. Does Corey Perry get another shot?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I would say there's a good chance he would have if he was a lot younger.
Okay.
But yeah, just because
he's 38, right?
He's 38, but also he doesn't play like he used to. I mean, remember, he won the Hart several years ago. He's not that player anymore.
What he's done is he's played into his role. He now knows what his role is. And so many people in the NHL said they can't stand to play against the guy. They hate him. Off the ice, everything's fine. But an obvious change. Anyway, we'll see. And whatever team, if a team does do that and take a chance on him, then you know that discussion is going to be, oh, why are you doing this and all this type of thing. But anyway, hopefully Corey and everyone's going to be okay. The Preds are okay. Well, up until last night when they decided to change our direction of this discussion, they're fine. They're at 500. You know, they haven't had one OTL. They haven't had one. So they are a legit 11 wins, 11 losses. In regulation through 22 games. I do not think there's one other team that the Ducks have not lost anything in extra time, and the Sens have not lost a game because they've only played four in extra time as well. They lose last night, but in the last 10, 6-4, they're showing signs, Vic, of turning things
around. What a difference a couple of weeks can make.
Yeah, that's sports. That's sports.
2 weeks ago, we were like, what is wrong with the Predators? They look absolutely awful. We expected so much more from this team. Where's this high-octane offense that the coach was promising, Andrew Brunette, and what's going on here? And then they whip off before they got thumped by Minnesota. They whipped off six wins in a row against good teams. We're talking the Avalanche. We're talking the Flames.
Yep.
The Blues, but the Jets. So they're beating good teams, and they're looking more, and Saros is looking more himself, and everybody is looking more themselves. And now this is starting to look, and it's really making the Central look interesting now. There is a big log jam. There was even beforehand, but you're getting to the point now of looking at the standings. You're like, who's not? I mean, besides the Blackhawks, right? And I'm going to get to the Wild in a minute. But besides the Blackhawks, who are we looking at that we can absolutely say, we can look at other divisions and go, the Ducks aren't in it, San Jose isn't in it. But outside of the Blackhawks, every team in that division now that Arizona is playing well has to be not ruled out of the postseason conversation.
Yeah, you've got Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, St. Louis, Arizona, Nashville, Minnesota. Those, forget Minnesota for a second, we'll talk about them in a second, but Nashville with 22 points, again, going in Friday. Colorado with 31. Only 9 points from 1 down to 6. I know it's a big hill to climb for Minnesota and Nashville. I get it. But there's only a 9-point gap between first spot and 6. So I'm with you. You can't say anything outside of, of course, it is Chicago. You can't say anything outside of Chicago.
I have the Avalanche and the Stars in a separate category in that division. I just think they are that much better.
And nothing against
the Jets, but those two are just a notch above for me. And then you do have that. I could pick, there's two. I still don't believe in the Blues, but they're up there. So you can't throw them out right now either. So it's interesting to see how it's all going to come about, but this is fun. I want to see it like this. I want most teams to still be in it wears on because it's a lot more exciting.
If you get down to the last 2 weeks of the season and you have four or five teams within 4 and 5 points of each other and going head to head for playoff spots and actually playing head to head games, come on. Even if you don't like the two teams, that's a hockey fan's dream, I think.
It's great for the league, for sure.
Oh, it is. No, it is. Is John Hines the answer for Minnesota? Kind of neat too, right? They gave him a little tribute last night, again, game against Nashville. So good on him for coming back and winning. But they win 6-1. Minnesota has been absolutely dreadful. I think they've reeled off a couple of wins now in a row. But is he the answer? Is this coaching change? I don't believe in coaching changes being automatically a snap of a finger answer, but is this something that we can look
this
at and think, yeah, maybe it is?
More sense to me than the one in Edmonton. And I don't even know, and here's some horrible content for all of our listeners. I don't know why, but I thought this coaching change made more sense. And I'm not just saying that.
Why is that horrible content?
Because I can't explain why.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hey, you own it. You own it.
It's just, just when they made this move, it felt right in my gut. And when they made the move in Edmonton, it didn't. I don't know. I don't know why. I can't explain why. But watching Philip Gustafson, and you know I'm a fan of his.
Yes.
These last two games, when he's only surrendered one goal in each, he has looked himself again. The players out front, there was a looseness to him. He made one spectacular save that I watched over and over and over and over again. So go online and look at it if you're interested. But it's just watching, he looked looser, he looked better in position, he looked more confident, everybody else out in front of him looked better. It's just, I mean, we're going to have to see how this turns out once the new coach smell wears off, right? Because you're still, there's the novelty of playing for the new guy, and then the novelty wears off.
It's like a new relationship, right? Everything's good, and then, okay, well, yeah, I kind of find your quirks.
It's just not new. It's not exciting anymore. But I'll tell you what, they have Chicago on the weekend. Mm-hmm. All right. So they have Chicago on the weekend and then moving forward. So if they string together three and then they go forward from that, then again, they've got a huge, you want to talk about big hills to climb. This is a 7-10-14. They've got a huge hill to climb. But like the Oilers, they are so much better than what they have been so far this season that they are a team for me that you cannot, despite the hill, you can't rule out altogether.
That 7-game skid. Ugly. Ugh. Detroit, Colorado, Toronto, Ottawa, Dallas, Buffalo, and the Rangers. The worst one was an 8-3 loss. I remember that one to Dallas.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm with you with the whole coaching thing. I think this, again, and anyone who, listening to this, they heard, I already said that I still don't, the dual Jay Woodcroft
thing. You don't
like
people getting fired in general, though. You just don't.
See,
soft.
Vic, I'm just a softie.
In the best way.
I was going to say, hold on a second. Should we end this now? Is that something critical? No, you're not critical. I'm soft. There you go, people. I don't care. I own it.
Anyway, nothing wrong with that.
No. Speaking of Colorado. Top, one of the top teams, not just in the West, but top teams in that Eastern, in the National Hockey League. Looking ahead to some of the games they have a nice swing through California.
Everybody seems to enjoy them, don't they? I know they don't know, but it's just this season in particular. You watch Pittsburgh, Washington's having a really good time right now. And I know it's a little bit different for the teams out East because it really is a true getaway. You're across the continent. You're playing in nicer weather if you're coming from Pittsburgh or Washington or Buffalo, what have you. But it just seems like teams go on that little California stretch and they do better than the home teams do. Now, first of all, the Sharks are lousy. And the Ducks are lousy, but the Kings aren't lousy.
The Kings are very good.
So it's maybe just getting those first couple of games under your belt against the Sharks, Anaheim, or at least the Sharks. It usually starts up north, and then you're on a roll, and maybe you fare better luck. And then we have the really strange home record for the Kings as well.
Isn't it
interesting? So Colorado is going to visit California, and I'm expecting Colorado to fare rather well.
Do you remember when, years and years ago, that the West Coast California trip for any team was awful? Nobody wanted to go through San Jose, nobody wanted to go through Anaheim, and nobody wanted to go through LA. All three were very good, and a lot of teams would come away with maybe 2 points if they were lucky. The only team out of those three.
You know what the difference is?
What's
sleep specialists. They have sleep specialists on their teams now. They do.
Hold on.
The consultants, yeah.
So you think that the reason why all those other teams won games in California before was because they didn't have sleep specialists because they retired?
Yeah. I think teams now are much better equipped
to handle the schedule
in general.
But don't you think
the quality of the teams is going to make a difference too? Absolutely,
right. So that's
of course. But I still think teams in general fare better on the road now, especially when crossing time zones, because they have consultants who know how to figure out and manipulate their sleep schedules or their rest schedules, their practice schedules, their dining schedules. I just think the advances that these teams have made psychologically more than any other in any other sense has made a real significant difference. So. Mm.
Sorry, I'm just sleeping. I need a.
I know. You nodded off
specialist.
Completely.
All right, Calgary, Vancouver. That should be a gem, especially with the Zadorov trade. So,
Isn't that funny?
Nice to see you again. I think that's hilarious. I really do. And did you not? You didn't do it on purpose, but oh, let's look at the next game. Hey, buddy. Hey, buddy. Good to see you. How are things?
That would be really funny.
That would be weird to me.
Some members, and I can't remember who it was exactly, of the Flames defense said they're really looking forward to it. They're like, we really like the guy, but it's going to be a real hoot to line up across from him. Right now, Zadorov is not a big production guy, but if I were to ever expect him to score, you're going to expect him to score in that situation.
Not because
he was kicked out, but just because he's so familiar with them all. And there's a little bit of extra jump in your step when you're playing your old team, especially since you played for them literally 5 minutes ago.
Doesn't have to go far. The whole team is going with him, at least his old team. Anyway, out of time. A lot of fun. Enjoy the weekend to come. NHL is, it's in great shape. And we'll be back very soon. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matyash, Pucks7. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Payne, at Victoria Matyash. Also on Instagram at PatesRP, at Matyash Victoria. And catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Also on the SiriusXM app. We will talk to you soon.
This has been Pucks7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.